May it please the court, counsel, my name is Paul Lopatch, attorney registration number 34441. With me at counsel table is Charles Romano, registration number 3988. I represent the appellant, Marsico Capital Management, LLC. Marsico Capital Management is appealing an order of the Board of Assessment Appeals in which the BAA upheld the City of Denver's tax assessment on certain affixed property. In the appellant's opening brief, we presented several arguments, but for purposes of today's proceedings, I want to focus just on two. First is the issue of whether or not this case involves omitted property, as that term is used under Colorado Revised Statute 39-5-125 sub 1. The record before the court and Colorado law are clear on this issue. The affixed property at issue here was not omitted from the assessment roll, and therefore the statute does not apply. The second issue, then, is whether this case involves an undervaluation. Under Colorado law, an undervaluation occurs when the property at issue has been valued in prior tax years, and it is then later discovered that the property has a greater value. There, the property has been undervalued and the value cannot be increased retroactively. An undervaluation under Colorado law does not qualify as omitted property. That's made clear in both the assessor's reference library, which is cited in the briefs, and the in stitches case, which is cited in the appellant's briefs. At the outset, I'd like to note just a couple of facts contained within the record. Marsico Capital Management has been a model taxpayer since it was founded in 1997. And the city does not dispute that Marsico has filed accurate declarations of its personal property every year, and that Marsico has paid all taxes assessed by the city on time each year. And that is true for the two tax years that are at issue on appeal here, 2008 and 2009. In 2004 and 2005, Marsico made tenant improvements at its offices in downtown Denver. Marsico, following those improvements, fully and accurately reported the tenant improvements and the value of those improvements in its declarations and filed those with the cities for each year beginning in 2005 through 2009.
Mr. Lopez, could you explain what the tenant improvements were in 2004 and 2005? None of the briefs sheds any light on that, and I'd like to know how they differ from previous and subsequent tenant improvements.
Yes, Your Honor. These tenant improvements at issue here occurred when Marsico expanded its offices downtown Denver. I think it moved from one floor to two floors, and that involved substantial renovation of the property. I think there were furniture and fixtures and redecoration and completely redoing these two floors of a downtown building. Those are the tenant improvements at issue.
And am I correct in remembering that there were other tenant improvements subsequently and previously?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor. That there were, but they, I think, were not as substantial as the 2004-2005 tenant improvements that occurred when the space was expanded in downtown Denver.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. The city issued notices of valuation for each taxable year, taxing all personal property, including the affixed property that was disclosed by Marsico. And the city's notices of valuation tax property by class. And those notices of valuation do not describe the property or specify individual pieces of property. Marsico paid those taxes as determined by the city in response to each of those notices. This dispute arose when in 2009 and 2010, a routine audit of Marsico occurred, and the city auditor concluded that the city had overlooked the 2004-2005 tenant improvements. The city then sought to retroactively impose additional taxes on Marsico. And initially, the city sought to impose taxes.
Let me ask you a question. Do you agree, based on the record, that it appears that the city overlooked the improvements?
I think that boils down to the central issue of what's an omission. And I think the crux of the issue here is, did an omission occur? And if you look at this, the operative statute, which is 39-5-125, that statute allows the taxing authority, under certain circumstances, to go back and retroactively assess omitted property when there's been an omission from the assessment roll. And in this case, and this, I'll move to the crux of the legal argument, Your Honor, because I think that's what you're asking about here, there was no omission. Number one, year after year, Marcico Capital Management, in its declarations to the city, fully disclosed, and this is not disputed, fully disclosed all information necessary for the city to assess and to tax the personal property. But the crux comes down to, and this is described more fully in our reply brief, the city is taking the position that it uses a software system called OASIS, and it said, and it testified to this before the BAA, it said there was testimony that, well, we received all the information from Marcico, but it didn't make it into OASIS. And implied in that position is that OASIS is the same as the assessment role. But we have to look at how the assessment role, what is the assessment, how is it defined? And in our research, and I think this is the only authority that's provided on appeal, the assessment role is really, it doesn't have a legal definition. It's been construed by the Colorado Supreme Court in a 1953 case called Northcutt, that we argue and is contained in our reply brief. And under Northcutt, there's a very broad definition of what constitutes the assessment role. And in that case, what the Court of Appeals said is, if you go and you look at the taxing authority's files, if you look at their records, if you look at their schedules, if you look at their appraisal cards and other records, all that information, once it's provided by the taxpayer, and we provide it in our declarations, once that information is provided by the taxpayer to the taxing authority under Northcutt, it becomes part of the assessment roll. So we have a situation in this case where there's no dispute that Marcico, year after year, provided all the information about its tenant improvements to the city. Once that information came into the city's possession and it was part of its files, it is effectively part of the assessment roll under Northcutt. And once it's part of the assessment roll,
okay,
it's not omitted here.
Okay, I understand your Northcutt and your assessment position, but let me back up to what I was asking originally. With regard to the improvements, is this a case where the improvements were valued but they were undervalued? I mean, are there two different numbers going on where there was an X amount of money and they came back and said, well, actually, the improvements are more than that? Or is this a case where they just didn't address the improvements at all?
The city's position is, after acknowledging that they received all this information, that there was some error made when they had all the information in its files, and that information from Marcico is then input into OASIS, that's where the disconnect occurred. And so, even though they had all the information, and it was part of the assessment under Northcutt, it didn't get into OASIS. And because it did not get into OASIS, They didn't fully tax the personal property that was declared by.
It looked like, looking at your opening brief, that you agreed that fault's not really at issue, though. I mean, whether it was omitted because the city OASIS system failed or not isn't the driving dispositive issue in this case.
That's correct, Your Honor. Okay. Because the crux is really, it has to be omitted from the assessment roll. And under Northcutt, once we provided information, and it's a very broad definition under Northcutt what the assessment roll is, we've done what we need to do. Then once it's in the position of the city, under Northcutt, it's part of the assessment roll.
Okay.
And there's only an omission under 39-5-125 when it's not part of the assessment roll.
Mr. Lopez, I know you just said to Judge Roman that you were disavowing any argument based on fault. What you just said really sounds like an issue of fault. Is there any circumstance that you can conceive of where Marcico could have provided all of the information to the city and the result would be different from what you're arguing?
You're asking if there could be an omission under the situation here. Is that correct, Your Honor?
Understood.
And I think, yes, and I think there are circumstances where even though the taxpayer has complied with its obligation to provide all the necessary information and declarations, there could be an omission where the taxing authority still needs to go back 2 years under 3910-101, or 2 years under 3910-101. And I think an example would be if the taxpayer provides all the information and in the assessor's office, they've received it, and it's somehow, let's say it's put in some other taxpayer's file. So the taxpayer gave it over, but if under Northcutt, if you went back to look and see, can I find it under Northcutt? Can I go back to the assessor's file and find this information? In that case, it wouldn't be there. So that's the kind of error, I think, you know, trying to reconcile Northcutt, which we have to abide by, and how there could be an error, because we have to give effect to the statute about correcting clerical error. So I think that's a factual scenario where we're still giving meaning and effect to 39-5-125.
Okay, thank you.
But it seems like the assessor's reference library in fact addresses a situation like we have here, and it does look to, you know, sort of where did the mistake come in? Was it a mistake in the taxpayer not providing enough information, or was it a mistake in the information not getting to the right place? And so it does look at fault. And why isn't this situation subject to the omitted property provisions, you know, that give the taxpayer relief in terms of the entity, the public entity only gets to look back 2 years? Because Marisco has already gotten some relief in that it's not going to have to go back and pay taxes from 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007. We're only looking back at 2 years, and it's precisely because it was not at fault in not providing information. The fault lied with the public entity in that it did not make the appropriate use of that information.
And I think there's two issues there. And you're right, Your Honor, that you have to think the issue of, and maybe it's not fault as much as, well, who's responsible for the omission? Because
exactly
that dictates, can we look back 6 years if it's the taxpayer's omission, or can we look back two, or if it's fraud in the statute? There's no, you can go back, which makes sense from a public policy perspective. But in this instance, I think the key under the assessor's reference manual is that there was not omitted property. But if you look at...
But from whose perspective? I mean, omitted property from the taxpayer's perspective, omitted property from the assessor's perspective, and why isn't it up to the assessor to tell us where it catalogs that property? What the assessor says always is it's cataloging methodology.
And I think that's why Northcutt is instructive, because Northcutt gives us the definition of assessment role. And I think this issue that you've identified is addressed in Cabot Petroleum. And in that case, in Cabot Petroleum, which we cited in our briefs, and it's cited at 847 Pacific 2nd, 152, which is a 1992 Colorado Court of Appeals case, and it's toward the end of that decision that the court says, look, there are circumstances where we have to follow the rules. Like, as the court, we can only follow the statutes that are at issue here. And there may be a circumstance where this could conceivably result in a windfall to the taxpayer. But that's, we just have to follow the statutes. And if that's the case, that's the case. The other thing that Cabot says is that you have to closely look at this power to retroactively assess and tax. And that it should be strictly construed, because you can only apply it in that fashion in limited circumstances, because it gives the taxpayer some sense of finality with respect to taxes. So I think the answer is there may be circumstances under the statutes where there a factual scenario that the statutes don't contemplate arises. In this case, given the fact that we provided everything to the taxing authority, but this still was not an omission. In that case, Marcy Cove, under Colorado law, is not required to pay those taxes for 2008 and 2009. So unless the Honorable has any further questions, I've got a few seconds I'll try to reserve. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lopez.
Morning, Your Honor.
Hey, please, court.
Counsel. My name is Chuck Solomon. I'm an assistant city attorney representing the city and county of Denver in this matter. My attorney registration number is 26873. I'll just guess jump right into it. I think that the issue that the court knows is, did the city value and assess property that was omitted from a prior assessment roll, which it is legally permitted to go back and correct, or is this a situation where the city actually included property on an assessment roll and went back and revalued and reassessed it, which it is not legally permitted to do? From the city's perspective, the answer is clear. It valued and assessed on the property. The Board of Assessment Appeals, which I'll call the BAA, reached that same conclusion. Obviously, Marcico disagrees, and that's why we're here.
Marcico says that the Northcutt decision is dispositive as it relates to the assessment rolls. Can you address that?
Yes, the city reads Northcutt, I think, a little bit differently than Marcico would. Northcutt was a situation where a taxpayer was coming in trying to invalidate a revaluation because certain deadlines were not met. And in that particular case, the taxpayer theorized that because the assessment roll wasn't done timely, no one could have known what was going on. And the court in that case said, that is correct in terms of the assessment roll was not done timely, but there were plenty of records, and I think they pointed to ID cards, other information where if a taxpayer actually wanted to show up, and did show up, they would be able to determine what the value of their property was. So we, as a city, don't read Northup nearly as expansive as Marcico would. I don't think there is a definition of assessment roll. But for the city's purposes, and this goes to the testimony at the hearing before the BAA, and I think Mr. Lopatch alluded to this, is when a personal property declaration comes into the city enters that information, or is supposed to enter that information, into what it calls its OASIS system. And it uses the OASIS system to keep track of all personal property. It uses it to list the personal property, to value the personal property, to prepare the assessment roll, to prepare the abstract, and to prepare the warrant. And once the assessor does all that, it transmits this information to the treasurer, who also uses the OASIS system to prepare the bills or the assessments. And the testimony at the hearing before the BAA is, if a property is not entered into the OASIS system, it will not get back. It will not be added to the assessment roll. It will not be added to the warrant or to the levy, and it will not be billed. And that's exactly what happened in this case.
Counsel, does our record tell us why this property was not added to OASIS?
It does not. No, I have an explanation, but it's certainly not in the record. I think this gets partially to the issue you were also raising earlier, is fault. Who is at fault? 3910101 does talk about fault. It says, as Mr. Lopatch pointed out, if the fault is with the city in omitting the property, the city can go back 2 years. That's what was done in this case. If the fault was with the taxpayer, the city can go back 6 years. And if there was fraud, it could go back basically in perpetuity. One of the cases I think that is instructive in this particular case would be the Chu decision, which I cited in my brief, I believe, Marcico did also. It was Chu versus BAA in City and County of Denver. In that particular case, we had a situation where a taxpayer made improvements to their residence, reported those improvements to the city on their personal property declarations. City, for whatever reason, didn't update their records to include that information in the assessment roll. Lo and behold, a couple of years later, similar to this case, they went and did an audit, and they found out they, in fact, missed all those things. So the assessor in that particular case did what it was required to under 395.125. It valued property,
It added to the assessment roll, and it issued an additional assessment for those taxes. And it went back 2 years because it was the city's fault. In that particular case, the court affirmed the city of Ashland in that particular case, which I think is entirely different from the situation of In Stitches, which Marsico points out and I think is dispositive in this case. In Stitches certainly stands for the proposition that the city can go back and pick up omitted property. It cannot pick up omitted value. There's no question. In Stitches, the facts are significantly different than they are here. And in Stitches, we had a situation where the taxpayer didn't provide any personal property declarations at all. So the assessor's office, relying on a different statute, prepared what was called a best information available assessment. And what that assessment does is it's supposed to be an estimate of all of the taxpayer's property. So it went out, it estimated the best it could, made a valuation, issued an assessment, taxpayer paid it. And a little bit later, city went out and found out on audit that, in fact, they had way underestimated how much it was really worth. So the assessor's office, Denver assessor office, actually, issued an additional assessment for the difference in value. And the court said, you can't do that. That was truly a case where Denver was attempting to pick up omitted value, because the best information available assessment is intended to pick up all the property.
Was there any value put on the improvements at all in this case? Prior to the audit?
Prior to the audit, no. No, this goes back to it. It's not an oasis. It won't get valued. It won't be added to the assessment list or anything else down the line.
So it sounds like if we were to agree with your argument for us, for Marsico, to prevail, they would need to be right on the assessment role definition and the Northcutt decision.
I would think so. Absolutely.
Mr. Solomon, what's your response to Marsico's argument that whether there's omitted property depends upon whether there was a fixed property here for a class or subclass of property?
Okay, as I understand Marsico's argument, under their reading of In Stitches, is that if any class or subclass of property is valued, that class is now closed and there can be no further valuation of that class or subclass of property. That's my understanding of what they're saying. The city disagrees with that. The statutes do not require, in fact, they specifically don't require any assessor to value classes of property. What they require is the assessor to value property. As it turns out through the process, once they value all these individual pieces of property, they're compiled in the assessment roll. And as they're being valued, the assessor's office does categorize things. They add all the categories to what's called the abstract. And that generic or granular information is passed on, and that's what's assessed. But the city does not assess categories of property. And it makes sense why not. Because property all has different useful life. It's depreciated at different rates. It might be 2-year depreciation, 5-year, 10-year, 15, 20-year, whatever the case may be. You can't just say one category of property is always depreciated at the same rate. The OASIS system allows the assessor to enter information, categorize it, put the useful life, and apply the mills and whatnot to come up with a value for that property, and then it's all totaled and sent out to the taxpayer in a generic form, not line by line. So no, the city does not agree with that particular argument. Census assessment roll fault. Those are really the main facts that I wanted to hit. I mean, I think if we're going to talk omitted property, at the hearing there was quite extensive testimony about what happened and why the city made a determination of what was omitted. And I would refer to page 8 of my answer brief. I put a chart together that quite clearly summarizes the information that's out there in the record, both in terms of testimony as well as exhibits, and it clearly shows what Marsico reported for tax years 2005 to 8, the values associated with those years. And on the right side of the chart, it explains what the city had in its OASIS system. What we're looking at is the difference of Marsico reported about between $5.2 and $5.9 million each year in those tax years. What the city had on its system for this category that the tenant improvements would fit into was between $20,000 and $60,000. It's quite clear we're not talking the same property. The city would ask that the court affirm the BAA's decision in this particular case. If you have further questions, I'm certainly open to answer them, but otherwise that ends my presentation.
And thank you, Mr. Solomon.
Thank you.
Just very briefly, Your Honors, I would like to point out that one of the exhibits that's in the record, the special notices evaluation, which I believe was Exhibit 3 presented by petitioner at the BAA hearing, those are forms in which the city represents unequivocally that the reason for the issuance of the special notice evaluation was adjusted value per audit. The first box that can be checked by the city involves omitted property. On five occasions, the city had five instances for each year for these SNOBs to check the box for omitted property. It never did so. And I think that that's the original intent of the city, and I think it should be found by that.
Thank you, Mr. Lopez. Thank you to both of you for your fine arguments this morning. We really appreciate them. The case will stand submitted, and a written opinion will issue in due course.